Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, The Buddhist on Death Row, How One Man Found Light in the Darkest Place, by David Sheff, is a work of narrative nonfiction that follows the unlikely meeting of two men whose lives are shaped by violence, Baptist, loss, and the search for meaning. Sheff, known for immersive reporting and intimate biography, centers the story on Jarvis J. Masters, a San Quentin death row prisoner who converts to Buddhism while living in extreme isolation. Through the lens of Masters' life, the book explores how spiritual practice can take root in places designed to extinguish hope, and how accountability and transformation can coexist with the reality of grave harm. It also traces the role of mentors and teachers in prison Buddhist programs, showing how compassion is not merely a feeling but a discipline tested under pressure. The prison environment, and broader questions about punishment, trauma, and redemption, Sheff presents a portrait of awakening that is neither sentimental nor simple, inviting readers to consider what inner freedom might mean when outer freedom is denied. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, a life shaped by trauma and the machinery of violence. A central topic is how early trauma and systemic neglect can set the stage for later catastrophe. The narrative situates Jarvis J. Masters not as a symbol but as a person whose childhood experiences include instability, abuse, and exposure to violence, conditions that are widely documented risk factors for later harm. The book uses this life arc to explore how the criminal legal system often meets damaged people at the end of a long chain of failures, then treats their actions as if they appeared in a vacuum. Jeff emphasizes the compounding nature of trauma, how fear becomes a default state, how aggression can masquerade as safety, and how a person can lose access to ordinary emotional development. This focus does not erase responsibility, but it broadens the frame from individual wrongdoing to a larger ecology of suffering that includes families, neighborhoods, institutions, and prisons themselves. By showing how violence reproduces itself across generations and settings, the book encourages readers to examine the uncomfortable intersection of personal choice and social conditions. The effect is a more rigorous understanding of accountability, one that acknowledges both the harm done and the forces that shaped the person who did it. Secondly, finding Buddhism in a place built for despair. Another major topic is the arrival of Buddhist practice inside the harsh realities of death row. The book explores how meditation, study, and ethical commitments can become lifelines when a person is confined, monitored, and frequently dehumanized. Sheff describes the prison context as an environment that pushes the mind toward despair, rumination, and rage. Then shows how contemplative discipline offers a different path, learning to observe thoughts, tolerate pain without immediately reacting, and cultivate steadiness amid constant threat. This topic also covers how spiritual practice in prison is not abstract self-improvement, but a daily confrontation with regret, fear, and the knowledge of harm. The story highlights the practical side of Buddhism: breath awareness, mindful attention, and the repeated attempt to respond rather than lash out. The setting makes every claim of inner peace subject to verification, because the consequences of losing control are immediate. By presenting Buddhism not as an aesthetic identity, but as training under extreme conditions, the book gives readers a grounded view of what spiritual transformation can look like when comfort is absent and time is abundant. Thirdly, compassion, accountability, and the problem of redemption. The book repeatedly returns to a difficult question: what does redemption mean when someone has been convicted of serious crimes, and what role can compassion play without denying victims suffering? Sheff explores how Masters' effort to change involves facing his past, while also living with the legal and moral weight of a death sentence. This topic is not presented as a tidy conversion story. Instead, it examines the tension between public narratives that demand permanent moral exile and spiritual traditions that insist on the possibility of awakening. The book considers compassion as a practice that includes self-compassion, but does not stop there. It extends to other incarcerated people, to guards, and to anyone caught in cycles of fear. At the same time, Sheff addresses the limits of what transformation can repair. Accountability remains central, and the story invites readers to hold two truths at once. People can commit terrible acts, and people can still develop insight, remorse, and a commitment to reduce suffering. The topic challenges simplistic binaries of monster and saint, pushing toward a more mature ethic that can name harm clearly while still recognizing human complexity. Fourthly, teachers, relationships, and community across prison walls. A further topic is the role of relationships in sustaining change, especially when the institution is designed to isolate. The narrative gives attention to Buddhist teachers, volunteers, and supporters who enter the prison system and build a fragile bridge between inside and outside. This topic explores mentorship, not as rescue, but as mutual responsibility. Teachers offer instruction and presence, while incarcerated practitioners bring sincerity and urgency that can deepen the teacher's own understanding. Chef also shows how a community can form through correspondence, visits, shared practice, and advocacy, even under strict surveillance and limited contact. These relationships are tested by logistics, bureaucracy, and the emotional toll of seeing suffering up close. Yet they demonstrate how spiritual life is not purely solitary. It requires feedback, guidance, and accountability. The book also surfaces ethical questions for helpers: how to support someone without idealizing them, how to respect victims while engaging a person convicted of harm, and how to remain grounded when the system creates moral fatigue. In emphasizing community, the story argues that transformation is rarely an individual achievement alone, especially in an environment built to erode identity and hope. Lastly, what Death Row reveals about punishment and the human mind. The final key topic is the broader critique of Death Row as a psychological and moral environment. Through Master's experiences, the book examines the effects of long-term solitary confinement, the peculiar temporal distortion of waiting for execution, and the way constant uncertainty can corrode attention and emotional regulation. Chef uses the setting to question what society believes punishment is supposed to accomplish: deterrence, retribution, incapacitation, or some notion of justice for victims. The book suggests that death row often becomes its own form of slow violence, one that shapes not only incarcerated people but also staff, families, and the broader public that tolerates the system. Against this backdrop, Buddhist practice becomes a lens for understanding the mind under pressure, how thoughts loop, how identity hardens, and how small shifts in attention can alter suffering even when circumstances do not change. The topic also invites reflection on moral responsibility at scale, asking readers to consider who is harmed by a punitive system and who benefits from it. Rather than offering a purely political argument, the story uses lived experience to make the ethical questions unavoidable. In conclusion, this book is best suited for readers interested in narrative nonfiction, Buddhism in real-world settings, prison and death penalty issues, and stories of psychological survival under extreme conditions. It will also resonate with people who have wrestled with trauma, anger, addiction to destructive patterns, or the question of whether meaningful change is possible after profound harm. The benefit is not simply inspiration, it is a practical, human look at how mindfulness, ethical discipline, and community can help someone rebuild an inner life when everything external is constrained. Readers may come away with a clearer understanding of how suffering is generated and interrupted, and how compassion can be strengthened without becoming naive. Compared with similar books that either focus mainly on policy or offer a simplified spiritual testimony, Chef brings a reported, character-driven approach that connects personal history to institutional reality. The result feels both intimate and socially relevant, showing the costs of punishment while keeping attention on individual responsibility. It is worth buying for its rare combination of spiritual inquiry, psychological depth, and investigative clarity, offering a story that challenges assumptions and stays with the reader long after finishing. If you would like to support David Chef, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.